for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Gun owners in Northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of hour number two here on this Wednesday, December 17th, 2025 edition. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Following a story that I've been looking at for quite a while, the House Oversight Committee, something that the Speaker, Matt Hall, gave subpoena power to at the beginning of this legislative session. He appointed State Representative Jay DeBoyer to be the chair of the House Oversight Committee. They also have subcommittees, election integrity, weaponization of our bureaucratic departments, other subcommittees that all report to the House Oversight Committee. Well, Attorney General Dana Nessel committed, at a minimum, a clear ethics violation, quote unquote, when she involved herself in possible criminal cases involving a personal friend and her spouse, according to House Oversight Committee Chair Jay DeBoyer, who spoke at a press conference yesterday afternoon. Nessel's perceived unwillingness to fully participate in the investigation led a House panel to find her in contempt, with the vote falling on party lines. Nessel claims a clear firewall shielded her participation into the investigation into Tracy Cormack, a former member of Nessel's transition team, who is suspected of bilking money from an elderly, vulnerable adult, and Bipartisan Solutions, which gave secret money to a ballot proposal committee chaired by her spouse. However, DeBoyer claims evidence shared at the House Oversight Committee hearings by the House Republicans' legal team yesterday during a three-hour hearing showed otherwise. The facts at this point on face value demonstrate that the power of her office was used to influence the direction of potential criminal cases, DeBoyer said. The evidence says that Dana Nessel, on multiple occasions, in multiple cases, violated her ethical expectation, quote, end quote. Well, MERS News Service reached out to the Attorney General, and Dana Nessel declined to appear before the House Oversight Committee and refused to answer any questions by the news service. However, a spokesperson for her office said a conflict wall prevented her from having any knowledge about either case. Her office says that she offered up the relevant division chiefs who had direct knowledge of the investigations to come and to be questioned before the committee. However, the chair, DeBoyer, declined the invitation. Instead, they presented conclusions from their own staff research based on their selective review of documents that were provided by the AG's office earlier this year, said Kimberly Bush, the AG's Director of Public Information. She added that many of the documents have been publicly available for more than 2 years. However, the panel voted to give DeBoyer the power to subpoena both the Attorney General's office and the Department of Health and Human Services for more information on the cases. DeBoyer is concerned that too many of the records are being hidden and not brought forward in good faith. One of the things that they're looking at is the possibility that they are possibly redacting some of the information. DeBoyer said, provide us with what those sentences say clearly. Maybe there's nothing to see here, but I would argue otherwise based on the rest of the facts. See, this is what politicians do. This is what bureaucrats do whenever they're given a Freedom of Information Act request, a FOIA request. Well, this goes well far beyond FOIA. This is a committee with oversight of her office. And again, they've been given subpoena powers. So they can basically subpoena her if they want to. Well, she has refused to respond to the subpoena. And now the House is finding her in contempt. Part of the conversations before the decision yesterday, before the vote was taken, Oversight Committee meeting had State Representative Brad Paquette of Niles saying he felt that it was an impeachable offense that Nessel, in the words of State Representative Jason Wolford of Howell, manhandled a staffer. To make the case against Kornack go away, according to an email written after the firewall was established. Asked what he thought about impeachment today by reporters, Chairman DeBoyer said, it would be a disservice to my position to say that that's not on the table. He said, however, he has to wait and see what the new documents being produced contain before going further down that road. Well, this is basically the case and what happened. The first case that involved Kornack was the conservator of Rosaline Byrd, who lived in Grand Rapids senior living assisted living home called Heather Hills. Cornack apparently stole as much as $100,000 from Byrd until the former CEO of the facility blew the whistle on the activity to the Attorney General and investigative journalist Charlie LaDuff. The evidence that was shared with the House Republican legal team points to Nessel taking at least 6 weeks too long to create the necessary firewall and then stepping over the firewall to actually kill the investigation. Well, Cornack is a former staffer of her transition team, a personal friend, and somebody who actually helped her get elected. The Attorney General's office noted, however, that Cornack's investigation ended after the alleged whistleblower, again, the former CEO of Heather Hills, Joe LeBlanc, rejected any attempt to work with Nessel's office. Nessel's communications with anyone in her office about the case happened after the investigation was fully completed, which therefore did not violate any ethical rules, according to her spokesperson. The House Republicans were using the point at which a fire wall was created and the file was closed, which was long after the Attorney General's office stopped working on the investigation. In the second case, the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, was concerned that Bipartisan Solutions had committed a Campaign Finance Act violation in raising money for the Fair and Equal Michigan ballot proposal. At that point, she referred the case to the Attorney General for possible prosecution. Instead, the Attorney General sent the case back to the Secretary of State, recommending that they conduct more investigation on their own before submitting it back to the Attorney General. Well, the Attorney General's office responded that neither Nessel nor Nessel's wife, Alana McGuire, had anything to do with Bipartisan Solutions, which was the entity in which the complaint was filed originally. McGuire, Nessel's wife, had been the co-chair of Fair and Equal Michigan back in 2020. For that reason, no conflict wall had been created in the case. With the case being sent back to the Secretary of State, it wasn't necessary for the Attorney General to continue investigating it. Well, the bottom line, her spokesperson says, the Attorney General and the state agency under her leadership has been generously cooperative with the demands of the House Oversight Committee and refutes their contention that she should be held in contempt. Well, we'll see where this goes. Now that the House found her in contempt, what happens next is the question. Final segment of hour number two. We'll be right back.
Pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet? Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Road Trip, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble, Road Trip, Likely to Succeed makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659. Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. A couple other short stories coming out of Lansing as they're wrapping up the legislative session for the year. Speaker Matt Hall, Republican from Richland Township, yesterday accused the Whitmer administration and the State Budget Office on failing to provide timely and adequate information about the $2.7 billion in the carryover budget in the proposed work projects. Well, Governor Gretchen Whitmer's administration officials sharply disputed the claim, saying that the State Department's produced hundreds of pages of documentation and met repeatedly with lawmakers. Holding a press conference at the Capitol, Hall said House Republicans moved to block the $644.9 million in requested work project extensions after what he described was weeks of unanswered questions about how the unspent funds were going to be used and who was benefiting from them. We asked basic questions and we didn't even get basic answers, Hall said, arguing that the lawmakers were being asked to approve extensions without any clear accounting and no transparency. If the administration can't tell us what the money is being spent for, what hasn't been spent yet, where the money is going, we're not going to just rubber stamp it, which is what we did.
Hall framed the decision as an accountability measure, saying that the House Appropriations Committee acted because of lack of responsiveness from state departments as well as the state budget office. He said lawmakers were left without confidence that these work projects were being properly managed. If it's not being managed right, we're not going to authorize it. Well, shortly after Speaker Hall's press conference, the state budget office pushed back, with officials saying that departments compiled requests and provided more than 500 pages of information detailing the work projects that were being considered. Departments complied with requests from Speaker Hall as well as the House Appropriation Committee members, providing more than 500 pages of materials on these work projects, said Budget Director Jen Flood. This documentation made it clear that disapproval would mean voting to halt funding for local roads, bridges, water infrastructure repairs, senior centers, job creation efforts, and other common sense measures. Flood added that the administration views the House vote as being harmful to the residents rather than being a temporary procedural pause. The governor and the Senate Democrats are working to create jobs and lower costs for Michiganders. This was a vote to raise costs and to harm some of our most vulnerable citizens, she said. Well, according to the House, they first requested additional information back on Monday, November 24th. Officials said that the request came after the budget office had already sent more than 420 pages of detailed work project materials to the legislative fiscal agencies 10 days earlier on November 14th, along with a summary for the lawmakers to understand each proposed project. Departments then compiled additionally 75 more pages of documentation in response to the House request. According to the budget office, several departments met directly with House Appropriations Committee Chair Ann Bolin, the House General Government Appropriations Committee Chair Tom Kuhn of Troy, and other lawmakers during the week of November 24th to answer any specific questions. Officials said they were not asked to provide any further testimony and assumed the information satisfied the House concerns. Speaker Hall, however, said the volume of paperwork did not equate to clarity, arguing that the key questions about unspent balances, contract statuses, and who was receiving the money remained unresolved. He said the House Republicans remain open to restoring the funding if the departments return with the necessary explanation as well as full transparency reports. Speaker Hall said this isn't about killing good projects. It's about getting the answers before taxpayer dollars go out the door. And we're not going to allow it. Dan Hall listed several examples of spending cuts that were blocked as part of this review process. We're going to get to that in the next hour.